Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the code FILTHYCASUALS to get $3 off any new subscription today.
Games, welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilo, with me as ever, sitting on the couch, really manspreading over there. It's Ben Vanell.
Good morning, video games, to you, Thomas. Thank you for having me.
Actually, also joining us, we have the third member of this little trio. It's Adam Knox.
I think you'll find that my name is that, did you just assume my, anyway, whatever.
Did you just assume my name that you know that it is?
That, man, I've only ever seen the sentence, did you just assume my, let's not bother talking
the,
about it.
The twinkle in Adam's eye when he's in the middle of an improv and he realizes that he hasn't thought about how to get out of it.
It's the only time I feel alive. You know how,
And it's always exactly 1 second after that you hear the phrase, oh, you know what, fuck it, it's not worth it.
Well, it's, you know, when cliffhangers climbing cliffs, he's always like, he's most happy when he's just slipped a little bit.
Getting three quarters of the way up and then just letting go and falling to his death.
Well, he does. They always like slip down a bit and they go, oh, but that's when they're a really good climber. That's when cliffhanger knows he's great at it.
That's kind of what you are. You're a conversational Nathan Drake. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're a couple of John Lithgows pushing you off the cliff.
Yes. No, I'm cliffhanger. That was his name in the movie, right?
Yeah,
Clifford Hanger. Yeah.
Please, Mr. Hanger was my father. It should be a rule in a movie if it's got some kind of like, you know, spicy, if the title is kind of a spicy way of describing the main character and what they do,
yeah,
that has to be their name in the film.
Oh, sure.
Like, that would be a good rule.
The name's John. John Diehard.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take you on then, Mr. Diehard, because I think this might not go my way.
I like Cliffhanger, but I preferred the sequel, Coat Hanger.
Cool.
Wouldn't Coat Hanger be... Coat Hanger they'd probably pitch more as a prequel, though. Like, it would be weird to go from him...
lower stakes.
It's way lower stakes. So you'd get into, like, that's him picking his outfit for when he's going and climbing those cliffs.
It was the original name for The Devil Wears Prada. And Rocky... What's his name? Sylvester Balboa?
He was going to... Sylvester Balboa.
Rocky Stallone.
Yeah, Rocky Stallone. He was going to be in that, in the Melrose Place part. What's her name?
Hey, look at that dress.
Mel...
It's good.
Melanie... The best actor ever. What do they call her?
Oh,
Mariah Carey.
That's it.
Star of Glitter.
No, three blokes, none of us wanting to admit that we've seen Devil Wears Prada.
I haven't
seen
it. I've heard it's good, though. I would watch it.
It's fine. It's on it's on Channel 10, like, all the time.
Oh, really? Yeah. Let's turn it on now. Let's do a live commentary.
I bet it's on.
I've completely forgotten the name of the star of the Devil Wears Prada.
She's in The Deer Hunter.
One
She's
of the greatest
of
actors to ever
Meryl
live.
Meryl Streep. Yeah.
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 Yep.
So I've just noticed that I have a problem with my Switch.
Yes. Mm.
I've just found that out because we were doing a little bit of mucking around with a Splatoon before.
Mm. Yep.
And I kind of thought this was just a fucked weird thing that the Switch had.
Mm-hmm.
But so... And you know what? Like, if anyone has this thing, tweet at us or something and say, hey, me too, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's we can all be together. Write it down exactly like how I just said it. And it's like, so if the controller...
I can't wait to find out. I can't wait to dig deeper on this and find out how many of the problems Adam Knox has, he assumes... Everyone has, but that are just specific to purely him. Everyone pisses blood, don't they?
You know how annoying it is when you hear that scream at night just before you go to bed. So it's the pro controller to the best of my knowledge, but it could be the little fucking Grimbles as well.
Yep.
The
Joy Boys.
Joy-Cons. They if
fucking
it's not
Grimbles.
In direct view of it. it loses button inputs and shit.
That is really not normal.
I'm really hoping.
Yeah, so you were sitting on my couch, you were playing, and you were surprised that it worked because you were like, "Oh, when I've got my leg up like this, it doesn't work."
And boy, did he have his leg
and
up!
And then you sort of start. We sort of talked you into like, "Hey, why don't you sort of like move everything and reenact it exactly as it would be in your living room?" Mm-hmm. And then it sort of started to look like you were going to have to fuck up my house a little bit. And I was like, "Actually, no, I don't want this."
Well,
sit down.
I couldn't do it just because like I couldn't really get it to a point because. Yours is, yeah, I couldn't really get it to a point where it wasn't kind of a little obscured by the TV,
right?
Which is where mine is. So I ended up going and hiding behind the couch, which is my default position.
And it still worked. So what you want to know is it, have you got a Bung Pro controller?
Yeah.
Or is the...
Switch itself, yeah. I think the whatever reception mechanism, whatever wireless magic is going on in there is a little fucking busted.
Which you bought your Switch on eBay.
Yeah, but the dude sent all of the warranty stuff from where he bought it with it. So
and where did he buy it?
He bought it from Target.
You'd think if you were trying to scam someone...
I don't think he was trying to scam me.
Yeah, because if he's got the warranty stuff, it's just as easy to take it back as it is to sell it to someone online.
Exactly. Like, I think as well that he said he hadn't opened either of them.
Yeah, and
from
memory,
it was all in plastic and shit still.
I've had that happen where I've sold something on eBay that was basically new and the person has gotten it and there was an issue with it, which I wasn't aware about.
Right.
So then...
Did they return this dildo to you? Or
is that why you started laughing? Before?
Yes, because immediately I pictured it as a dildo.
You could see the top of the cliff and you were like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get up this bad boy.
You start revving the motorbike and just go, see you later, boys.
So, yeah, they were very, I imagine you're going to be, if you have to get in touch with this guy, you'll be your usual sweet self. This person, very competitive to me.
Yeah,
They basically accused me of having deliberately fucked them over, which then made me kind of wish I had deliberately fucked them over.
Oh, I remember this whole story. Yeah, yeah. The thing I'm worried about that I need to check as well is if it is the Switch that's broken, is it the same as the Wii U where I take it in and all the money I've spent on the games and that is just fucking gone, see you later?
I know that they were getting rinsed a bit for that when it first came out, but I don't know. I keep reading things that they're like, it's like I know you can... I think you can back up your saves now because that was people's other big thing of like, well, if it breaks within a week and I'm this far into Zelda and I have to go start again, that's like such a huge bummer.
Yeah.
I think the saves are you can back them up now.
Yeah.
But
well, we'll
surely,
find out.
Surely you're not going to be in the situation where you've spent $50 on a few games and you get your Switch fixed and they're all gone.
That can't be a thing.
I'm pretty sure that
it's 2017, guys.
Well, they're linked to your account. Like, if you bought them on the store.
On the Wii and on the Wii U, I'm pretty sure you were fucked. I'm pretty sure they were linked to the console as well.
Yeah, but
I'm talking out of my arse, and I feel like that might be fixed. So.
Yeah. It may not be the issue. But I will say, I bought a screen protector for mine the other day, and I got it, and I was like, oh, fucking hell. Like, this is like putting contact on a school book. This is... I can't do this. I'm going to get a bubble in it.
I tried two different ones and they both fucked up.
Really?
And now I'm just going bareback, baby.
So you know what I did? I got recommended.
So I'm not worried about the screen protector anymore because I've caught some diseases from going bareback.
You've been spoofing on your Switch. And that's why it's not receiving.
Well,
the,
you've just come so hard. You've propelled yourself off the side of the cliff and now you're plummeting to your death.
But I'm going to grab onto the stream like Spider-Man and it's all going to be congealed and I'm going to swing back on top.
Has there ever been a parody of Spider-Man called Spoof-Man?
Definitely, yes. Not Spoof-Man necessarily, but the one where the conceit is that his
instead of a web,
come.
It's cum. Yeah, yeah. That must exist.
Absolutely. That's probably how they came up with Spider-Man.
So Spider-Man is a spoof of Spoof-Man.
Yeah.
Great.
Spoof-Spoof-Man.
I got the screen protector that I bought was recommended to me by Andrew Levins, who then I was telling you how to put this thing on. And he said, go into one of those places that fix phone screens and they'll just do it for you for like $5. So I go in and I get this guy to do it. And then
you get him to do the phone screen thing.
Yes. So I fuck him and then he fixes my Switch.
Yeah.
He gave the screen a good thorough cleaning before he put it on. But he's got his little cloth out and he's really getting in there. Like he's really working the screen hard, like to get the smudges out. And it was a very tense few minutes as I stood there watching it going, just watching someone else manhandle my baby. It was because I was like going, what do I do if this guy goes too hard and I just watch the screen snap in front of me? Like, yeah.
And you have to take your Switch in to get repaired and you lose all your games maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Brutal.
If only there was a way of finding out before commenting on it publicly. So did it work? Was that a good plan?
Yeah, he did it. It was great. Okay. And I've got a little protector on there now. It's like maybe shatterproof and everything. I'm feeling fucking great. Mm. You know what? I'm going to take it with me next time I go rock climbing.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. I'll come with you. But let me tell you, I am not a safe partner.
So what are we going to talk about today, guys? There's been a little bit going on in the world of gaming. Yeah. So something that ties into something
the wide world of video games.
Why wait until he'd found the thing?
I know,
he
I was
to
floundering for a bit. Yeah, I could have used an interruption then.
Because
I'd gotten through the muck and I was about to say the actual thing.
A giant inhale to be like, the wide world of video games.
Some of it was that, but it was also like a battle between.
So some of it was that.
Yeah, but some of it was like my self-control fighting my urge to keep this on track. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Having known you for a little while, very rare that the self-control wins out, I will say.
He's the John Lithgow character.
Hey, interesting.
Yeah, my self-control is a male.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Why he's so fucking incompetent at keeping a handle on me. Because I am a loose, free, whatever. Keep going.
Okay.
The what?
Yeah, I've lost it again.
The Atari box.
Yes, so something that this ties into, we recently did another Bandcamp premium episode on the history of console launches.
Yeah, our longest one yet.
Yes, clocking in at 15 minutes. yeah, you can find that for a dollar or more over at, is it?
Filthycasuals.com.au.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And you have the option as well. It's not just that Tommy doesn't remember the price. It's it's a dollar or more. I can't, who knows?
I know that we agreed on at least $1. Yeah. We just kind of went around and we were like, bow out when it reaches a price that's too high for you. And I know that we got to at least $1.
Yep. So just not to confuse the wording, it's at least $1. There we go.
Yes.
Okay.
You can pay whatever you want, mm-hmm. as long as you want to pay. At least $1.
That's like that. You just did like a meeting guy trick, in a meeting. You just say some shit that other people have said.
Yeah,
but you say it as though everyone else was being an idiot about it.
He did the game. He did the game.
Yeah, that was the fucking game.
Yeah. Why do you think I've gotten so far in business?
You're
the richest one here.
He's literally fingering you right now and you don't even know it. That's how good that was. This got announced this week. The Atari box. They're back, baby. Yeah. I was surprised to discover that they've announced a console, console.
They did that, like a month ago? They released a teaser trailer.
Mm. Yeah.
That was just like, remember Atari? And that was kind of it.
Totally. Yeah. It was just a video that was like, fucking get a load of these three little stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember them?
Yeah.
It's bizarre because so far all they've done is announce aesthetically what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
and basically nothing else.
Yes.
They're like, check out that sweet wood paneling.
I think it looks good.
It does look cool.
It looks kind of like a high-end stereo or something.
Yeah, it does look very nice, but it's such a weird way of going about things.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. Well, I think...
It's the kind of thing Nintendo would do.
Yeah. Well, it's like they've gone... They've played on the things that they expect people to still like the most. Like, the Atari logo is a good logo, and that kind of reminds you of Atari. And then
wood
they go,
paneling?
Yeah, look at this thing that looks good.
Yeah.
And the Atari
worry about
logo,
what's inside it later.
The Atari logo reminds you of Atari.
Does it
what
not?
What a claim.
True.
What a bold claim.
Much like every effective logo.
Yeah. I dare you to dispute that.
Fucking getting away with it, meeting guy says.
I'm not like you. I don't want to say stuff on this podcast that's maybe going to enrage the listeners by being potentially, like, you know, untrue or whatever.
Yep. Listen, guys, can I just bring this meeting just to really the crux of what I think we're trying to say here? I think we need a logo that reminds people of our company.
We need a logo that reminds people of the logo itself. Yeah. it is pretty crazy that it has kind of taken them, because this whole nostalgia thing has been in full swing for quite a while now.
It's
kind of weird
that
it's taken them this long to kind of come out and go, hey, you know what? People are getting off on this whole Stranger Things kind of thing.
Yeah.
Why don't we just kind of go after that?
Yeah.
But yeah, so they've done it. They've just kind of gone, here's a pic of the outside of it. Jack your little dick over this.
Yep.
And then given no other information.
Yeah.
There's a tiny bit. I don't know who said it, but someone, I assume from Atari, has said it will play Atari games.
It was either a guy from Atari or someone at a bus stop earlier.
Well, I don't know if it was Atari or if it was like Polygon speculating.
I can't remember if it's someone who works for the company is making the product or literally anyone else in the world. So take this with a grain of salt.
But, okay, so yeah, I don't remember the source.
I'm looking that up now.
Yeah. But what it's Atari games, and the quote that I saw was like current gaming content.
Yeah.
It has an SD card slot, mm-hmm. and apparently, you know, like a bunch of stuff that, yeah, your Nintendo classics didn't have.
Yeah.
So it potentially is just like, what, a PC motherboard with a graphics chip and...
So yeah. this is from Kotaku. It says there was a design newsletter published online. There wasn't any mention of specific specs or what the kind of games Atari Box would play.
Ooh.
Or what kinds of games, sorry, that Atari Box would play. Mm. Although the newsletter did mention that there would be two editions, a black/red version and a wood version, and the console would come with an SD card slot, HDMI output, and four USB ports.
Right.
The images also show an Ethernet port at the back. So, which all of that just sounds like what a Raspberry Pi is.
Yeah.
So this seems like it's going to be an Atari fucking emulator.
Yeah.
But then people were talking about, would it just be like a Steam Box and potentially, I mean, if you can, you know, hack it or whatever and put whatever you want in there.
But it sounds, it kind of sounds like it'll come pre-hacked. Like they're just going, here's the thing with a bunch of Atari games on it and a bunch of ports. Like,
yeah.
It also means that while we will be delivering classic game content, we will also be delivering current gaming content.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is like a fucking Ouya type thing. It'll play Android games probably.
Yep.
And I'm surprised that Atari is still around with enough capacity to be getting something like this off the ground.
I don't think Atari themselves are actually making it.
I think this
that
is
been
like
licensed.
Yeah, this is like the fourth version of Atari that there's been.
Right.
Yeah. There was like Atari, then it died, then someone bought Atari, and I think that was like Midway or someone like that.
Yeah.
And then it died again, and then somebody else bought Atari, and now this is probably like, you know...
Think of a funny one, quick.
No, I can't. I'm trying to think of the most boring one, and my brain's only coming up with funny ideas.
Yeah.
Like
Apple.
Building design dull projects.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Someplace meeting guy would work for.
Yeah. Tech logic.
It'll have the word holdings at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks really cool. Like, as a piece of hardware, it looks great. The fact that you can get it in wood paneling, something about sliding an SD card into a bit of wood is delightful.
Now, Thomas.
Yes?
The language you've used there.
Yes.
It opens you up for a bit of ribbing.
Yeah, go on, guys.
Speaking of ribbing, this is something that genuinely we are creating a smooth design with ribs that flow seamlessly all around the body of the product.
Oh,
a front panel that can be either wood or glass.
It must be Trojan that bought them out then.
The way that they're like describing it, they're very clearly just going like, this thing looks rad. It's such a strange thing to be hanging your hat on early.
It is the most bizarre announcement of literally just going, this is what it looks like.
That is a huge amount of what people were interested in that NES classic, though.
Mm, yeah,
sure.
Is how it looked.
Like, I don't own a Raspberry Pi. I don't even know what one looks like, but I know what this looks like.
I can tell you right now, it doesn't have ribs that flow seamlessly all around the body.
Oh, baby. If a Raspberry Pi, like, came out with, like, a great... Like, if it was launched being like, hey, this looks really cool, and it can do all this stuff, and it's, like, $100, I probably would have bought one.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing where, like, it's a completely different business model to that, where the ones that have games on them are, like, made by secondary companies to them and all this sort of shit.
Yeah.
So,
but it seems like it'll capitalize on the thing that people thought, you know, many people were disappointed in with the NES Mini, that it's just whatever's on there is on there and you can't sort of do what you want with it, which is very Nintendo.
I bet this will be a thing where, like, there'll be a little bit of a wink on the back of the box going like, and if you break it apart, maybe put some other stuff on there. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it'll be kind of designed for you to do that and look cool.
But I kind of like that. I like less and less playing games on my PC or my Mac. Like, I really prefer now playing on a console on the couch. And sure, I can emulate every game from like the GameCube earlier on my Mac, but I'd rather do it on a console that looks nice and sit on my couch and do it.
Yeah. Even though I've got a controller that goes...
I don't know if you can.
Yes, you can. I've done it. I've seen a guy do it once in a dream.
Even though I've got I've got really into, for a bit, emulating stuff on my laptop, and you can use a Wii U Pro controller, like, wirelessly,
sure,
like through Bluetooth, you can get a program.
Yeah.
But it's still just, something about the... And even though I can plug that into my TV and be doing all that, it's just something about, just turning on the... just a console that's there ready to go is still way more appealing, even though I can technically do all the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's just that leap in your head of like...
No, totally. I know exactly what you mean. Like, hey, technically you can sleep in a bush.
Yeah.
Provides cover.
Yeah.
That's all you're looking for from somewhere to sleep.
Yep. It might be a little less convenient, but it technically still works.
You can, and also in a bush, you can do other stuff. You can watch movies.
Yeah.
Too.
If someone's projecting them onto a cloud.
Yes. Wonderful analogy. That looks cool. Not much more to say about that, I guess. The other thing over the weekend, there was a footage of a new world that's in the Kingdom Hearts 3 game that has been, I think it got announced in E3 2014 or something, so it's been in the pipe for a while. But a Toy Story World, which looks really cool. I believe the director or someone who's kind of a higher up in the production has said ages ago that's his dream is to have Toy Story in the game.
Mm.
And guess what, Ben? Dreams can come true.
Yay!
It looks cool. They put out a little trailer for it.
Yep.
The characters kind of turn into little... They
little
kind
blocky,
of have toy, little blocky. Yeah.
It was weird hearing Japanese Woody.
Yeah. Japanese, all the others, they've done a pretty good job of... Japanese Donald is great.
Yeah, that was fucking nuts, actually. Yeah. Japanese Donald Duck, because he said, I can't do a Donald Duck impression.
Yeah.
It's one of the very few impressions I'm no good at.
Very few.
But I like barely
do
anyone.
Do Jackie Chan.
that's the closest I can get to Donald Duck.
Oh, okay.
The hearing him just like speaking Japanese, because my brain's dumb, I immediately went like, wow, I can't believe that actor knows Japanese too. Because you'd imagine only one person's capable of doing Donald Duck.
Yeah. Donald Duck has existed for 100 years.
Really?
So it's probably
hasn't
been more than one. No.
Donald Duck.
Well, 80,
maybe.
Like 20s, 30s?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is almost 100 years.
Back when he was made, he was called Donald the Mallard. It was a different time.
Okay,
They spoke like that.
Great. Really nice.
I often find when you go and you watch clips of cartoons that originate in the English-speaking world in other countries, they generally, I don't think, have been that concerned with getting voice actors who sound much like their English counterparts. Like if you watch clips of The Simpsons in other languages, they don't really tend to have gone too much for it, which is why I thought it was so weird, never played a Kingdom Hearts game, that like Goofy and Donald sound so much like Goofy and Donald, just speaking Japanese.
Homer, they kind of give it a go.
Homer, they just kind of go for a big, dumb, oafish voice.
Just that in different languages, whatever.
But that would have been one of the first things to kind of have to do it. And you're also probably putting it into a country where no one's seen the original, so it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whereas now people are a lot more.
Yeah, apparently, because I watched it in German class, we were in high school and the teacher was like, oh, just watch The Simpsons, please. Don't yell at me.
That's Simpsons.
And it didn't sound good. But we had German exchange students who were like, we just watch it in English with German subtitles. Or we just watch it in English because we can speak English because we're German, not dumb Americans.
Apparently the German actor, I think it's a German actor, there's one guy who does all of Arnold Schwarzenegger's roles.
Right.
So whenever Arnold Schwarzenegger does a new movie, he shows up.
I think that's pretty common though.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's kind of a cool idea of having just like your equivalent actors.
Still a voice maintained across.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with someone like Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Speaking of John Lithgow earlier, I'm pretty sure it's him. There's a funny story about him when he did his parts in Shrek and he watches it and everyone's pretty psyched about it. They're like, this is going to be a huge hit. And he gets all pumped and they're like, I'm doing this big press tour. And he's like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm going to get flown around to all these places. And they're like, no, you dumb fuck. It's a different... It's not you. Like, you're the only place where it's you.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah.
He's very funny in Third Rock from the Sun.
Man, he's great.
Yeah.
He's really great.
Great comedic actor.
He's my dad.
What?
So, anyway, we have never
played... Is this the new I've got an uncle that works at Nintendo? My dad's John Lithgow.
My dad was in Cliffhanger.
Every kid at school had a dad who was John Lithgow.
So none of us have ever played
none
any
of us
of the
have
Kingdom
ever
Hearts.
Played it. I'm keen to go in. It just seems like something that's going to take a lot of time.
Yes.
Pretty prohibitive to get into, although they did just recently re-release 1 and 2.
And
1.5 and 2.5.
Yeah, yeah. There was a pack
and,
with
and like
7 in it. Yeah.
2.8 as well.
Yes. Yeah. Which is on the... Which, was on the PSN.
Well, I guess that's the thing I've found prohibitive is that I have a bit of a completionist kind of thing in me where I kind of would feel like I'd have to do them all and even all the little in-between ones, which I kind of don't want to do.
Also, as an outsider still, it's so fucking silly. It's so silly seeing, like, Donald Duck running up to someone with a big sword.
I love it.
Yeah,
show
I
us
love
where
it as well,
that
yeah.
bloody elevator is. I love it. That's
my Donald.
Is that the Japanese? G'day.
Donald.
We weren't done talking about that. So that's the weird thing. Everyone else sounds very much like their English counterpart. And Woody, they've just gone, who gives a fuck?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just get some old man to just like talk in his normal voice.
But maybe he's the Japanese Tom Hanks. Maybe he does.
Interesting. Maybe that's some kind of deal.
Because Tom Hanks's brother does all of Tom Hanks's like voice work stuff on Littler Things. So every like Woody toy is actually Tom Hanks's brother. Like, Dave Hanks or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and he just sounds the same. So he wanders up, gets a free paycheck.
Fuck.
Well, not free. He has to say there's a snake in my boot.
Yeah.
Well, I will say the Japanese Buzz Lightyear sounds close to Tim Allen.
Yep.
Doing nice. The anime Tim Allen grunt.
Did we talk about this yet? That after you did that on the show as part of a riff, anime Tim Allen... You then put it up on YouTube thinking it was going to...
I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Thinking it was going to go viral, and it did. It just landed with an absolute thud.
Well, I don't know if I went into it thinking it was going to... Like, I don't want to say that I thought I was going to conquer the world with it.
You put the effort in, so part of you, even just in the back of your mind, if you were trying to temper that, you would have had high hopes for it.
Maybe. I definitely...
Look, you're going to come off better if you either go, I thought it was going to be viral, or you go, nah, shut up. If you go, no, I thought it would be all right, that's kind of the worst.
I thought I would get 33,333 views.
Okay.
And we've all been there. You put the tweet out and you go, this is the one.
Yeah.
This is the one that propels me to the next level.
Yep.
And then you're looking at it the next day.
I am an egg. Finally, recognition.
Wow, not what I thought was going to come after I am, but sure. This is it. This is my masterpiece.
I'm interested in going and doing some of those Kingdom Hearts.
Yes. I'd love to play this third one. It looks cool.
As a group, I reckon. I reckon we should do maybe like a bit of a Kingdom Hearts fucking thing at some point.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
Oh, like a group cosplay sex kind of thing?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Excellent.
It's, so it's, and also they've given it a admittedly extremely vague and probably will not happen launch window of 2018, which I don't think they've, I don't think they've done before. Like, I think this is the first, it's not like they've missed a bunch of dates. This is the first time they've been close enough to be able to go, it's out next year.
I might be wrong. They might have said like 2015 at some point.
Right.
And then really fucked off.
Well, so then I read an interview with the director, whose name I cannot remember, but he basically, you know, they sort of go, so, you know, motherfucker, what's going on? What be going on with this Kingdom Hearts 3 shit?
Yeah.
And he basically, he just kind of throws Square Enix under the bus and goes, hey, man, I'm ready to go. It's the fucking bigwigs upstairs.
Yeah, the marketing people, they want to build the hype train or something.
No, the way he tells it, I could be misquoting this, but he kind of makes it sound like...
What does he say?
Here's exactly what he says.
Okay.
Listen, cunts. like his team kept getting shuffled around and he's kind of saying, I need this many people. And they're like, you can have this many. And then stuff, I think it was like Final Fantasy 15 kind of got reprioritized. So a lot of people left to go do that.
Sure.
So he's kind of like, yeah, it's if it was up to me, I requested all these people and we could have done it in like a year.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's kind of been out of his hands for a little while now, which I do like, it's a pretty gnarly move just in an interview. Like, surely you're in the back of your head going, got to toe the company line. He's just like, nah, my boss is a cunt. They've just caught him on a bad day where he's just like happy to absolutely go off.
He keeps showing up to these meetings and saying shit that we've already said at the meeting, but he just says, listen, guys, point of action before it. Everybody thinks he's clever for it, but he's not clever for it. It was my idea and he's rephrased it.
No, but if you do it properly, no one's the wiser.
This guy is.
Or it's something like, you know, I always love the idea in these interviews because they're generally, I mean, I read this on a English speaking website that had talked to him, presumably through a translator, although maybe not. Mm. I always like the idea that they've got a translator who's a bit shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
these stories, it's happened before. It's happened previously this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There was that stream,
that Nintendo thing. There was that one guy was like,
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he went off script.
Yeah,
the Japanese guy went off script. So the guy translating him is sitting in a control room somewhere going, oh, fuck me, Dan, what is this?
At the time, it did just look like it was a shit translator going like, I don't remember.
I'd actually forgotten
that second
part.
Still technically a shit translator if you can't sit there and listen to what the guy's saying.
But then also, but maybe he's got someone else in his ear going, he's off script, don't do it, don't say it because we don't want anyone.
Don't launch the missile, don't do it. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great? And then so
he's just rephrasing what the last guy said, but he said point of action earlier. Just ignore it.
That would be great if that happens and it's like, He goes off script. The translator in his ear is being told, do not translate this. He's gone off script. Just leave it. Just
say the N-word over and over again.
Yeah. I'm sorry we have to throw you under the bus, but just we can't. And then they bring out a thing going, here's what he actually said, and they retranslate it when they re-upload it.
Oh, yeah.
But if it turned out what he actually did was just like talking about the size of his dick for like five minutes. And so all the English-speaking world, none of us know. It's only the Japanese who are watching live who knows a real story.
The Nintendo Switch might be portable, but you know what's barely portable? This huge dick that I'm working with.
He's just gone hard on the free champagne in the green room and just come out doing a bit of fucked improv.
No More Heroes 3. Fuck it. Put up a picture of the guy. What do you mean we're not making it?
I'm on OkCupid. Look me up. Nox, you had this written down, that Titanfall, a bit of a glimpse behind the curtain there, guys. We write stuff down and then other people in the group have a read of it.
Yep. Relatively new twist.
Titanfall 2.
I'm not about it, honestly. I reckon we freeball this whole show.
Well, I mean, your approach to the group doc speaks volumes about your thoughts on it. But Titanfall 2 added a co-op mode.
Yeah, well, it's going to. Oh. They put out like an announcement trailer sort of thing. It's like a four-player kind of horde modey kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's free. And it's something that they like. They're doing a bunch of stuff with this game that they never really said they were going to do, and they're just doing it because they like the game and want to, like. And this game is like fucking $20 now.
Yeah,
you can go and get it real cheap, and it's really fucking good.
Mm.
And this is like just another thing that'll work really well. The way the game plays is great. I'm glad that they're doing all this stuff to extend the life of it.
Yeah.
It's because you spoke very favorably. Jesus Christ, of it when it came out.
You looked like you were angry at me for you getting that word wrong.
No, that was all internal.
How dare you distract me while I'm trying to speak?
How dare you be favourable about things? You know how hard that is to say. You liked it at the time.
Yeah.
And then since then, I've heard a lot more people kind of chiming in on it, and it's been sitting on my list.
When I
get a bit of time.
It's great. But, I reckon this would be a good, because like this is. Like a new thing as well, and it makes it have basically every kind of feature you could want to have out of a game like that, out of a shooter game sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got a really good single player and like straight up competitive multiplayer now. And yeah, this is just another cool thing that they didn't
need
to put
in. So this wasn't part of the thing where they were like, hey, we're going to add this stuff in over time. They're just like, people are into this, we'll just do it.
Yeah, they said they were doing like new maps and stuff like that, and they've been doing that pretty consistently.
Mm.
But this is like a surprise to me, at least.
It's just the best way to cut, because like obviously the first game didn't do well. It wasn't a good game. It was pretty lacking in features. And then this one came out and people just didn't buy it. The basics of it
were good.
Sure, it didn't get a good reception. And then this one came out and it was actually good, but not enough people bought it. So I guess they're just going like, look, it's a good game. Everyone come on and play it. We're supporting the community. And they're just sticking around. It must be
fun as opposed to developing a game like, the start of it where, you know, even if it's an established franchise or it's a sequel to something, you're still worrying, like, are people going to like this?
Mm.
But whereas developing DLC is just, like, the reason it's worth you doing it is because people already like it.
Yeah.
So it must be a lot more satisfying because you go, oh, man, we're seeing the tweets, we're seeing the online stuff, we know what people think about it, we know what people want more of, they are going to fucking like. Like, it must be very satisfying to, like, sort of work on that stuff as opposed to the in-the-dark nature of building the game in the beginning.
It's interesting as, like, a business thing as well, though, because this is free. So the people who they're going for with this aren't people who already have bought the game, sort of.
Yeah,
like they kind of are, but then also they're trying to build this thing for if when they make a Titanfall 3.
I mean, yeah. I know, you know, the whole thing of it now is that, you know, they're just competing against people buying a game and trading it in. And we've talked about this on the show before, this problem where a game ends up being bought, you know, one copy of the same game ends up being bought three times over. So really, the money the revenue you're getting as the developer is only like a third of the number that of people that have played it.
Yep.
But, I mean, even if you just put out it's all about just convincing people to like, hey, don't get rid of it. Like, there's new stuff coming. Yeah.
Sure.
So I think it's not even about like needing to make the money off charging for the DLC. Yeah. I think most studios would probably find it preferable to just bring it out for free, because it's all about, hey, no, if you want it, you're going to go and have to get a new copy. Like, that don't.
I almost think it's more like the, you know, the thing 20 years ago where a movie would kind of tank at the box office but become a hit on DVD.
Yeah.
Where this game probably, like, there was, you know, financial projections where, like, it probably didn't reach those in the first couple of weeks of sales.
It was weird because it came out in between Battlefield and Call of Duty. And so I remember it's
And it had the bad reputation of the previous one in this franchise.
Or at least the smaller reputation. I didn't find that first game bad, but it was certainly just like,
I know that was the general feeling.
I just remember when you started talking about it on here, like I hadn't really heard anything about it at the time. Like it came along, like there was a big... There's a lot of big stuff towards the end of last year, and it felt like it like a lot of things do, it just suffered from sort of the time it came out.
But, you know, by all reports, it's a great game, and so it just seems like, oh, word of mouth will, you know, help this out.
Well, I'm sure that the fact that it's constantly, like, it's been cheap on the PlayStation Store for ages now, and I think that's another part of it, is like just trying to get people who've heard about it by now, or the person who's just like, oh, it's $20. Who gives a fuck? I'll just give it a crack. Like, you can sort of
and
see that reflected.
This is just reminding people it exists.
Yeah. People definitely should too. I reckon it's if you like shooters, like if you have always hated them forever, this won't change your mind.
It's an interesting thing with the whole, the DLC being a bit of a surprise. Like, it kind of, you know, you're not really expecting it, where, you know, Nintendo have been doing this with like ARMS and Splatoon, sort of saying, hey, like with Splatoon, they've said, we're going to be adding stuff for 2 years. Like, so.
And they proved it kind of with the first one.
With the first one, but it launches with, you know, it launches with an amount of stuff that's like fine or whatever. I mean, with the first one, people had a lot of issues about the amount of stuff, but, you know, and this happens. I mean, Capcom have been doing it with Street Fighter of like, no, we're going to add it all in, we're going to add it all in. And so sort of then there's a lot of pressure for it.
Yeah.
But there's also something to be said for, it coming as it. Like, I remember when they did the Mario Kart 8 DLC on the Wii U, and also because Nintendo had never really done DLC before, it was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We're getting new tracks. This is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of, like, I think now it's treated as like a bit of a given, like with most games.
Yeah.
Well, and even to the point where it stands out a bit when stuff like Battlefield and Call of Duty sticks to having and now pay us $70 more if you want to have the rest
have
of
all
it.
The stuff. Yeah,
because everything
yeah.
else, like Halo did it and all sorts of other things that I can't remember off the top of my head, are doing this like, okay, you get everything for free.
Yeah.
And maybe you give us $2 for like this dumb costume if you want some point down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think like I said before, I think the overall you know, goal with doing it for the studio is just convince people to hang on to it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you think that, you know, you've got a fan base that will pay you the money for it, you know, at the same time, then great. But I think that's, it's like,
well, I guess that's,
let's just convince people to buy the game.
And like, that's the incentive to make these digital discounts good as well, because you can't trade it in if you buy it digitally.
Yeah. Yep. And the other thing is, if you're like, the team that has to make DLC after the game's out is like way, way smaller than that, you know, it's not as much time and money and whatever else.
There would be another team probably working on a Titanfall 3.
Yeah. And I guess this just helps that team. It's going. Yeah. It's continuing the goodwill of
Rainbow
Titanfall
Six
2.
Siege is another one that I hear it's been really well supported after being, and like is a really good game now that wasn't particularly noticed at the time. I think that's cool. Having games improve throughout their life.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of me.
It's so funny to go back to listening to a certain podcast about the... Did I talk about this already? The 64 era of games. and what leads to speed running being possible, where
the bugs in the games
would launch broken and too bad. Like nothing can ever be done about it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so crazy to think about. Yeah, like if you're the developer and it's like within a day, someone writes into a magazine and goes, hey, if you do a backflip here, you can go all the way to the end of the game and watch it and going, ah, fuck, I forgot to do a backflip at the very start of the game to test it.
I was just wondering, did you notice you put Link in arseless chaps? God damn it, I knew I'd forgotten something.
The truck's just gone out, come back.
I knew I had this string around my finger for a reason.
So, boys, as we mentioned at the top of the episode...
What do you want?
As we mentioned at the top of the episode, the very top, we start recording at the fifth floor and we move our way down to the ground. And now we're halfway to the ground. So this
so
is where
we have five basements.
Yes, your mum has five basements.
Fuck!
This episode is brought to you, the listener, by Loot Crate. Our good buddies at Loot Crate are back again, and boy, are they angry. I couldn't think of any
other. And this time, it's personal. That's right. They sent us each a Loot Crate. Mine was all themed about people called Tommy. So I had Tommy Pickles from the Rugrats.
Yep.
I had the Who album in there.
Yeah, Quadrophenia. Yep.
Some great albums produced by the great Tommy Emmanuel.
Okay.
I had
Tom and Jerry on the
Tommy Mottola, who was the head of Sony, like in the 90s, I think.
Did they send you like his shoes? What did they send you of? What
just stuff that because he was the head of a record label,
just stuff.
So just so just bands that he signed.
Labels.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Knox, you got the Book of Genesis.
Yeah, I'm extremely into the Mega Drive, and so, the Book of Mega Drive, it was called over here.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah,
great.
Really nice.
Real good. All right, you're out.
I don't think they'll do personalized.
Ben 10.
Yeah, Ben 10. Ben
and Jerry's, heaps of ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
You're really winning out of this.
They definitely don't send foodstuffs through the...
No, this was the personalized ones for us, the ambassadors of Loot Crate. But no, if you do sign up to it in the coming month, you'll get something kingdom-themed.
Oh, which the cheese too.
Yeah. That was a board game. Do you remember that?
The Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fucking great board game. Not in this.
You'll get a beta copy of Kingdom Hearts 3 that we were just talking about.
Ben, let me ask
you
a question.
Yeah?
I've just started listening to this podcast. What the fuck is Loot Crate?
Oh, well, are you on the quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles?
Why do you think I started listening to this podcast?
Yeah, well, Loot Crate has it.
Finally, I'll stop listening.
Yeah, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Now, what does that mean? It means that you sign up for Loot Crate and at some point every month they send you a Loot Crate.
Okay.
So in a way, in the back of your mind, you know it's going to come, but you don't know what day and in what form.
That's true of most male, really.
Yeah, and female.
Yeah.
Even more mysterious, if anything.
That's great. The woke postman. Okay, so here's your male or female.
I like it. We should do a sketch about that. So Loot Crate.
Here's your package or vagina.
Loot Crate offers you an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. So it basically, it's a little cardboard box with a nice design on the inside filled with cool things.
Mm. Sort of there was a Rocket League ball in the last one.
I've been throwing it against the wall and catching it.
My dog fucking loves it.
You have a dog?
Well, my parents' dog.
Oh, well, be specific next time, please, before you bamboozle me.
No, she's still my dog, though. My dog.
Is this a dog? Is this a dog that you grew up with, like childhood?
No. She's only about four now. I
okay,
think.
So that your parents got her since you've moved out.
Yeah. There
not
was a
your
bit of
dog,
a...
bro.
Yeah, not your dog.
Not
bro.
Your dog.
I was in the car.
Not my president.
When we went
dog.
To pick her up.
If your parents break up and your dad gets a new girlfriend, and then you go around there, it's not
that's
your
my mum.
It's not your girlfriend.
No, but I'd call her mum.
Would you really?
I don't.
Do you
know.
Call your mum your girlfriend? Oh my god.
She's a good dog. She loves that little fucking ball.
She's a good dog.
What kind of breed?
Cocker Spaniel.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's her
Very
name?
Very nice.
Tommy. No, it's
Yeah, now, if you have a pet at home, you can get Loot Crate for pets. That's one of the options you can get.
Oh, wow. I thought you were doing a bit that is literally on here.
Yeah, that's genuinely true.
That is
By the way, I just realized I'm going to bleep out the name of my dog because that is the answer to some password questions.
Oh, man. You know what?
You shouldn't have mentioned it.
I was going to make a joke about you being so fucking scared about naming your dog on the air and not wanting to do it, and you actually are.
It's for my attorney told me don't release any more personal information.
Oh, great.
Oh, boy.
Because he's sick of people showing up to his house that I know.
Leave all this in. Just literally bleep it. I want people to hear. I want people to know this about you.
Yeah, yeah. So you can literally get Loot Pets. You can get Loot Gaming, which is particularly relevant to our listeners and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Bit of a long bow there, but sure.
All right. Each month's theme expires on the 19th of that month. So for Kingdom, you got to get it before August 19th. It's basically it. So in Kingdom, you'll get stuff from The Legend of Zelda.
I like that series.
God, stop going on about Nintendo.
Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that series.
Great show.
The Lord of the Rings.
Indifferent to it.
Really like it a lot.
I used to like it and I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
One lucky subscriber will also receive the Mega Crate, which we mentioned the last time we did an ad for this. It's like, it's a console. It's something really good.
Some kind of big boy.
Some kind of big boy. So if you you want to sign up, and I suggest you do, go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter Filthy Casuals as the promo code, and you'll get $3 off any new subscription today. Now, if you just have been thinking about getting Loot Crate, please use our promo code because it helps us.
Mm. It helps us. You save $3. You'd be a fucking moron not to do it.
So on that note, let's return to our regular scheduled programming.
Splatoon 2, baby.
Now,
do you know what clever name I call it?
What?
Splatoon.
Mm, nice. Now, you've decided to lay down on my couch. I don't like the dynamic that this creates because I feel like you shrink and I already feel like that enough of the time.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm
chicken
comfy
tonight.
Can I tell this? I had to counsel you through you turning up at my house, you riding a Razor scooter up to my door.
What?
This is what happens.
What?
This is what happens.
Yes.
I answer the door. There's no one there. And he normally does some little...
He's got a bit of shtick.
All of a sudden, this absolute madman comes gliding past me. What did you say? You said like...
What's up, my dude?
You're on a Razor scooter. This is true.
I got off the bus and on top of the bus stop, there was a handle hanging over and I noticed that there was a scooter on top of the bus.
Right, which a primary school child has put there to get after they come back from school.
Too short. It would have been a kid being bullied.
Two chains.
Maybe someone threw it on there.
Well, no, this is what happens. So you come into my house riding a Razor scooter and you go, I don't know, I'm like, what's going on here? And you go, I took this off a bus stop. And I go, okay, you probably should have left it there. And mm-hmm. you go, yeah, maybe. But I've already written a sketch that has it in it.
In my head, but the... No,
in your head?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't write it down.
No.
But I genuinely just kind of thought of it like hard rubbish.
Because
I often see like a little fan or an old TV or something on Tommy's road.
Yeah, or a
when
working Razor scooter at a bus stop.
It was it really felt like it had been thrown away.
Did it work?
It was a little rusty.
Did it work?
Not well. I didn't write it heaps.
By the way, guys, it's hard rubbish day on this street tomorrow. Can you help me put all my old junk up on the roof so that they know to come
get
it?
Well, I went and took it back.
Yeah, so this is the thing.
It's
so
back
then,
there.
Okay. So then it very much frustrated me that you weren't here to see this bit because we would have had a field day together. There was a 5-minute process where I had to deal with talking Knox through the guilt of because the theory that we both agree on is a kid has been bullied, he's been chased or something,
yeah,
and some bullies have thrown it up on the roof of the bus stop.
Maybe, but that's pretty fucking 90s. I don't reckon that happened.
You're singing a very different tune now.
I reckon some fucking idiot threw it up there because they didn't want it, but...
I cannot imagine a world in which that would happen.
But here's why. Because they had taken it off of someone earlier, last night, and they were drunk or something.
Well, what you couldn't resolve
in your
head...
They'd taken a scooter off of someone's front porch.
You couldn't handle the potential guilt of sitting here and knowing that, let's say that potentially...
If someone went back and got it.
So this kid, if he's been bullied, he goes back with his dad, and it's then just not there.
Yeah.
You couldn't reconcile that within
yourself.
If
somehow that wasn't a discarded scooter...
Yes.
That was a deliberately placed, I'm going to hide it in the sneakiest place in the world, visible in the street.
So you then decide in your head, I've got to go take this back. Yeah. That's the right thing to do. I agree. Then there's another 5 minutes where you're trying to talk me into coming with you, which I don't want to do.
What if the dad was there and he beat me up?
He's not joking.
Tommy's going to save you.
He's not joking. That was a legitimate concern.
I took the scooter back. I leant it against the side of the bus stop.
Nice.
Instead, so if it was a kid, he could just grab it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
And then, so 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door again, and I answer it, and you're back, empty-handed, and within about 10 seconds, you're in the door, and you're like, "Fuck! I shouldn't have taken the scooter back. I wish I still had the scooter."
Did I say that? I don't remember saying that.
You immediately regretted taking it back.
Well,
is it because you were remembering how good the sketch was in your head?
No, I just feel every feeling at all times. So I was just feeling that a bit, but also feeling happy I took it back.
Yeah. Well, we'll never know. I mean, this is the thing. I would love to know. Mm. Because odds are it's just someone else has just taken it.
I'm sure someone just got sick of it and threw it up there.
Mm.
I don't know if you throw it up onto a bus shelter.
Yeah, because you go like, I'm being dumb. Someone who owns a scooter in this day and age is the sort of person who's flinging shit around.
This is what's great about it, though, is that the roof of the bus stop just adds this. If it was just, you know, on the side of the road, you'd go, there's infinitely just less questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The fact that it's on the roof of a bus stop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a great detail.
Because that is clearly purposeful.
Yes.
Whether it's a bully or someone like saving it for later.
Or it's a very discarded scooter.
What? Someone's thrown it out of a plane?
No, just like someone's, because it wasn't chucked up there carefully. Someone's fucking mucking around on it and they go, bah, bah, imagine being this funny.
I don't think you can chuck it up there haphazardly because it'll smash the bus shelter.
I think they didn't give a shit about that.
Oh. Someone's done the ultimate kickflip and it's just landed up there and then they can't get it.
There was also a person screaming for help up there. Do you reckon that was related?
We should take the portable recorder down there after this and see if it's still there. So Splatoon 2.
We don't have time.
Splatoon 2 is it's out on the Switch this Friday. Yes, I got an advanced copy, which is cool. However, none of the online stuff is functional yet until the game goes live on Friday, which seems a little weird, but kind of also makes sense. So, yeah, all I've been able to do is play the single-player mode in it, which, it feels weird to review because, you know, that's not what people are coming to the party for.
Yeah, it's always part of that game, sort of.
But, yeah, so we had a few questions come through on the Facebook there. One guy...
Well, and just if we're going to talk about it broadly, I played a bunch of it on Sunday too.
Yes, they did a
public...
timed Splatfest.
Yes,
thing, yeah.
Splatfest.
And so what's wrong with the word Splatfest?
It reminds me of something else.
It's a portmanteau of Splat and Cumfest. The one, so I...
All right, hopefully they call the next one the Splat Khaki, so you won't have any quick qualms about
you.
That.
That's all I want.
That went for like 4 hours. It was a public thing. It was free.
Yeah. Did you play it for 4 hours?
I played it for most of it.
Right.
I went back and forth. I was at my parents' house and played it with my brother because he likes Splatoon as well.
Yeah, and then you got on the train and you spent an hour on the train and then you played it for another hour and a half?
No.
Well, then how did you play it back and forth?
Oh, fucking you. I'm so sick of this line of questioning. Not in that fashion. Swapping the controller back and forth, mate.
You and your brother weren't online at the same time?
No.
Okay,
couldn't, I don't think, on the one console.
Right.
Yeah, I played like two quick rounds of it and, liked it. Like I kind of woke up really late and I kind of only had like half an hour, so I just did two little goes of it. But,
It's cool. It's very similar to the first one.
It is. So this is what people have asked is that, is it a sequel or does it just feel like 1.5? And so it's kind of – it's such a weird position to be in for a company making a sequel where – the first one was on a console that was already on the way, pretty much on the way. Like it was already a flop,
yeah.
basically by that point.
Yeah.
So no one played the original, but those who did really liked it.
Yeah.
So you know that you've got a commodity, like a property that people do like and want to see more of and will get into.
Yeah.
But I would say of people playing this on the Switch, probably at least half of them would never have played the original, mm-hmm. at least.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, that's been the case of like Mario Kart and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
So it's weird in the sense that the first one, I thought it came out in 2014. It came out in 2015. It came out May 2015. So, you know, only just over 2 years ago, which is really not that long ago at all.
Yeah.
And it feels like to me, it does feel like a sequel, but it feels like a sequel in that real kind of like 90s kind of Super Nintendo sense of it, where something would come out and be popular and development time was way quicker. So it was just within a year, it would be like, hey, let's just get another one of these out.
Yeah.
A few new characters. Little bit more going on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it feels like you don't really get these true sequels where it's like everything is like a new iteration. You know, like the Grand Theft Autos are all numbered, but it's like they start from scratch and each new Grand Theft Auto is trying to now be the next new biggest thing. Like it's not so much addressing like, hey, here's all this stuff carried over and, you know, it's like the colours are a bit different and whatever.
Sure, it's like, oh, they're making it for a new console and it's literally completely different.
Yeah, totally.
You could sort of make the equivalent make a comparison between this and like the Call of Duty games a bit.
Yeah.
They come out every year. The multiplayer is basically what people are there for and it's roughly similar.
But again, Assassin's Creed, I guess.
Yeah.
But again,
yeah.
I guess my point is like the scale of things is so big now that, you know, when stuff gets they just feel like new iterations of this same thing. They don't feel like they're directly following on from the thing before. Does that make sense?
Sure. I think I see what you mean. But this doesn't feel like that either. It's following on to me.
Yeah, I mean it does. It is.
It feels like the same game with some new stuff.
Yeah, but my point is that's how sequels kind of just used to feel. Like they weren't, there were just little tweaks here and there.
I guess
there.
So. Like they were like fucked up different, like Zelda 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess.
But I guess the short.
What's an example of that? Because I'm trying to think now, like
Banjo-Tooie, I guess that sort of thing.
Right. Okay.
Kind of. I mean, like real SNES era, and I don't even mean like big mainline games. I mean smaller franchise.
Right.
Yeah. This is a terrible example, but this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like Bubsy, and then Bubsy 2. It's
right.
like okay, cool. Just make another. Just make another thing with this.
The Crash Bandicoot games.
Totally.
Well, yeah. That's,
I guess it's like It's just a very like very childhood thing where it's like
I guess
quick get a new one out.
Sonic was probably like that.
Sonic
the first
was
couple
probably a bit like that. Yeah.
The first thing I thought of was Mario, and it's like oh they're mostly completely different. But
on that's the thing, Mario Kart. I don't think of it's like this eight where it's like this line where it's like this is the eighth Mario Kart. It's like no, this is the new Mario Kart on this console.
Yeah,
do you know, in the same way that Call of Duty feels like this is the Call of Duty for this year. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
and this is the Splatoon for the Switch.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of the Splatoon for the Wii U.
Yeah, totally.
Well, yeah, but this is that game. It is the equivalent of Mario Kart DX. Basically.
But this is what I'm saying. It's a weird.
Wait, no, it wasn't called that. What's it called? Deluxe.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
It's a weird position to be in where, if more people had a Wii U, well, then the demand would probably be. But they know they can, like, they've got to make it feel like not prohibitive to anyone brand new to it, but also put a bit of fan service in there for people who liked the original.
Yeah. Well, and so all the stuff that, like the new maps, there weren't that, there was one that was from the old game. There were a rotation of four on Sunday.
Yeah.
One was from Splatoon 1, the other three were new. They were all pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, so my initial thing, just talking very broadly about the look of it, was when the first one was coming out, I wasn't that keen on it. Like I just thought that the kind of, the colour palette and everything all sort of and the environments looked a little bit drab, which when you play it, you realise that because it's all needing to see how much ink each team has, the environments have to be very plain to make that stand out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so if it came out in May of 2015, we played it in, I think, June of 2015 in Japan.
Yeah.
Which means that, you wouldn't have bought it for at least a month.
Yeah, I didn't get it until... Yeah, I didn't get it because we were about to go away. I think I got it not long after we got back.
Right, and we played it once and it was like, oh, this is Cool.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Yeah.
I think it feels like it is a game that you have to play before you go, yeah. before you can know if you like it or not.
And so even though, like, I kind of let it off the hook for not loving the, you know, the complexity of the environments and stuff in the first one, which they obviously are still working with here, but I think you can just see them pushing it a little bit harder and sort of going like, okay, we still the overall colour of the level has to be very muted so that the neon tones of the ink stands out, but they are still doing a lot more interesting stuff with the palettes and the environments. And I think the towers was one of the levels that I played.
It looks really nice, I think. Yeah. Like it's a lot sharper.
Yeah.
It runs really smoothly and all of that.
It's like a Mario Kart 8 Deluxe or ARMS. Like the... all of the surface level stuff looks beautiful.
Yeah, and it's got the it's like a really crisp, cartoony looking, Nintendo-y looking sort of thing.
Yeah,
which it just looks really clean and nice.
What I think is really interesting about the first one, and
that's
it's back.
Sort of creepy.
she puts the lotion on the skin.
One of the things I loved about the first one was, you know, for most multiplayer online based things, it's just like, who cares? You're just playing online. Like, I mean, you know, the Uncharted games are a good example where they have a story, but then when you're playing online or you're playing, the multiplayer, it's just like, whatever. These characters from the main game, they're just on an island trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
And you're a fucking soldier.
Yeah. I kind of always really liked about Splatoon that they kind of had this whole kind of lore to the whole world that sets up and explains why these kids run around shooting each other.
Yeah. Right.
I always thought that was cool that they, you know, it's not going to win any awards for its writing, but I always appreciated that was there. Like, it's a very Nintendo point of difference.
Even on a very shallow level, it's just got a really, like, constant fun personality to it.
Mm. Well, there's not really a menu screen, so there's like a hub world, which is where you go and pick, you know, which bit of the game that you want to play.
Like Crash Bandicoot 2.
Yes, which I loved.
Yeah.
So I think that all of that stuff is back and great. The music is another thing that I've been loving about it.
Music is fantastic.
It's fucking rad.
I mean, I loved the music in the first one. Like,
That little noise, whatever MIDI fucking synth sample, whatever, that fucking love that noise.
I got so hooked on the lobby music in the first one that when they did the first Splat Fire thing that they did, or Test Fire thing that they did, which is a few months ago now, going into the loading screen for that and the music being different, like a little part of me was like, oh, but then you sort of, like, the music, even though it's changed, has cues from the original one that kind of threat. And this is what I mean about it really feeling like sequel-y in the terms that it, like, old school sequel-y, where that was like a very much a thing of that, where you'd keep these little hallmarks and kind of expand upon them.
The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Yes, definitely. Great example. But the music is, and you can look up.
That's the music from Splatoon, right?
Yes. Oh, Jurassic Park DLC for Splatoon would be great.
Oh, yeah.
But you can look this up from the first one. I assume they'll put them up for the second one as well. But like all the tracks are like full band, and you can, they've got videos of the band playing them, which is great because it's people who are very, very skilled at the instruments that they're playing, absolutely shredding and going sick on the drum. Looking like they're waiting for the bus.
Yep.
Like, absolutely no enthusiasm on their faces whatsoever. The music is really great and deserves special. Just the whole aesthetic of it being this really kind of streetwear kind of focused and kind of like real kind of pop, it which, you know, sounds weird to say, but is like a very Japanese thing, like very Japanese skater kind of cool teen,
like Jet Set
kind of
Radio
thing.
So
the single player was something in the original that I really liked. It did feel a little kind of, you know, just a bit of a trumped up tutorial. It was fun, but I did really enjoy it, and I definitely thought that's the main thing I would love to see kind of refined and done a bit more
and expanded on. Yeah.
And so far, I mean, I'm into like World 2 now or World 3. It's great. Like I've really been enjoying it. All the things that I would have said about the first one, like, oh, I really want them to do more of this. They've done, like, the mechanics are sort of a bit less about the shooting, and they've got these, like, there's a lot of, like, rail grinding. Rail grinding is back and expanded on from the first one. There's, like, all these little different, these, like, boost pads and just all these little things that you hit and trigger that, like, propel you around, and these little kind of mechanics are kind of at the forefront in the way that makes bits of it feel kind of more like sort of Tony Hawk or even Jet Set Radio, this kind of...
Like a strange platformer hybrid thing.
I think it deserves a lot of credit for taking this. Like, the core of it is the online multiplayer. That's what the game is.
Yeah.
So, and make no mistake of that. Like, it's very clear in all of its presentation that that's what it is. But I think it's pretty impressive that they managed to take that and make and the mechanics of that and make it work in the context of being a platformer.
Right.
Well, because the multiplayer isn't a shooter in the same way that you would think of an online shooter as being. Like, it is mainly based around movement and about, like, map control and shit. Like, you want to keep people from getting to your, you know, it's about...
Yeah.
The goal is very different to a normal shooter of just, like, be the quickest and shoot this person.
Sure, and totally. It's very Nintendo to not have the focus be, like, to shoot the other people.
Yeah.
It's non-violent, basically.
Yeah. And
you can shoot... Shooting other people kind of just takes them out of the map for a bit. Mm. Like, there's not
you
really
do
that
it
much.
From time
you do need to do it, but it's not...
But also, like, kind of the focus is to cover everything with ink.
Exactly.
Is,
the worst thing about being shot isn't like, oh, no, my points. It's, oh, fuck.
I got to go back to
this different type of points.
Yes.
But
that's
yeah,
a great point you made.
Oh, well, splat you very much. And the Splatfest thing is for... I never did any of the ones in the original game, but it's a really cool little way of just making people play at the same time of, like, I was team cake. It was cake versus ice cream.
Right.
And I chose cake because cake means ass.
I chose ice cream because it means a big old dick. And ice cream fucking flogged cake.
Yeah, ice cream won.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I've been really enjoying it. Like I said, it's totally the everything I would have expanded upon from the first one and all these different things being at the forefront. The boss design, I've only done two of them so far, but the boss design is up there with some of the best.
Yeah,
like,
cool.
Really, really interesting.
I didn't even think that there would be bosses.
And again, like, just the way that it's like basically very platformery, but they've got these mechanics. So one main thing that's new is in the first one you just kind of had your very standard gun for the whole single player thing. In this one you unlock a big range of them,
right?
And the incentive to kind of go back, and you can pick, there's on the little stats screen, it's got which weapon you finished each level with.
Oh, yeah.
So there's kind of incentive to go back and kind of like do all the levels with all the different guns, which is going to completely change kind of how you go through it.
Right.
I think the first time you go through the level, the little guy comes through and he's like, no, I want you to use this one. Like, you kind of have to use a set one for the first time that you go through. But yeah, that's kind of a new thing. And so
apparently those unlockings don't translate to multiplayer.
None of that carries over.
Which is
kind of a shame, but
the multiplayer has to be its own progression,
It's its own thing.
That's pretty normal.
It's got its own currency and everything.
Shooter.
Yeah.
The boss design, just like I said, translating this thing that has been set up to just be this one mode of like turf war and make it work in the context of these big, very video gamey, very Mario-y bosses is pretty cool. I mean, there's bits where the course design feels like it's up there with some of the best 3D Mario games.
Yeah, right.
That you have a gun and you can swim around and it just kind of changes the mechanic. So yeah, I mean, I'm really loving it. I'm biased because that was like kind of one of my favorite bits of the first one. Mm. I would hope that they do, given that they've said they're going to be releasing DLC kind of over the next couple of years, I really hope that the single player factors in.
Yeah.
Because my one thing about this game is, and I wonder if this will be an issue to people or not, that it, so that in terms of once you finish the single player, if you're offline, there's going to be nothing for you to do. So you can't play can't play multiplayer on the one console. You also can't just go on and set up a match with bots to play against.
Yeah.
Which
that's
I
Salmon
think,
Run mode you can do with two people on the one. Salmon Run is like a horde mode type of thing.
Right.
You can do it with two people on the one Switch together.
Can you?
Yes.
I think you can. I don't think that you can.
Maybe I'm fucking
I don't think you can do anything with two people on the one Switch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I think is a huge missed opportunity, especially for the nature of the Switch being, you know, what it is, being a handheld and being, you know, you're going to use it on a flight where you don't have the internet.
Yeah.
I just think is a huge shame. But I kind of get it from their point of view where their big thing with the Switch is it's a console. It's not a handheld.
Yep.
It's a console. I guess the thing of not being able to set up your own little dummy matches with just bots is like they want to make sure that the servers online are always full. So if they give you an option of just sitting on the couch and not using that, then people are going to probably use that. But
I mean, this is like their flagship thing for their whole multiplayer service, which they're soon expecting us to pay for.
Yep.
That phone app kind of launched already, but you can't actually use it.
It's up, but you can't get on it. I think
that's like a Apple and Google Play Store thing where it's like you got to submit the app in advance anyway, and they just... Yeah,
all that stuff is so weird, and I hate it from the point of view of someone who likes to go back to games that are 10 years old. Sometimes,
same.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
And
well, like I said, I mean, I wanted to really go into it for the sake of being able to talk about it on this, and it's great to get it early and be able to have it on the show before it's come out, so you get a bit of an early take on it. But yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can do on it until Friday.
Yeah.
And it's also the only mode that you can play if you're offline, and I have a long flight next week.
Yeah.
So I kind of was like, if this is all I can do offline, I kind of don't want to... I mean, and it is a shame where I'll get to the point, and I'm enjoying the single player so much that I think it will be one of those things where I will go through all the levels and really want to get all the little hidden things that are in it, of which there are a few, and clearing it with all the different weapons, which is going to be different each time you go through. But there'll be a point where I've done all that, and I'm somewhere where I don't have internet, and it's like, oh, well, this game just may as well not be on my system,
which is
kind of a shame.
Yeah, it's strange that they would be so good about that stuff with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and ARMS.
Yeah.
And then just for Splatoon 2, just be like, no, we just want to sell a bunch of copies of this, sorry.
Like, I don't know. I wonder if they'll patch it in or whatever. Or I strongly suspect that – I reckon what will probably happen, because there's not much has really changed, save from a few little – like I said, graphical upgrades here and there. The single player feels a bit more considered this time.
Yep.
But apart from that, from what I've heard of the multiplayer, it is just more of the same, which everyone's fine with for now.
Yep.
Because everyone gets the situation of it. Given how early it's coming out in the lifespan of the Switch, I'd say 2-3 years' time, we get a third one that is a huge overhaul.
Sure.
That has all these kind of things addressed and considered.
Well, and the way they updated that first one with a bunch of new stuff, so maybe they do that with this.
Maybe it is coming in. Yeah. I will say, like, the one thing that I noticed about the Splatfest, which I was glad to see, a big complaint I had of the first one was they had all these mechanics in the single-player mode, like the little rails that you transport yourself along, which just weren't in the multiplayer, and I just thought they were they were so fun to go around on.
Yeah.
The rails, at the very least, are in the multiplayer this time around.
In the old maps, they've chucked them in.
Oh, have they really?
On the one with the two towers, they've got some rails in it now.
Right. The twin towers, you could say.
I would say two.
Okay, sure.
Lord of the Rings.
Tomato.
Loot crate this month.
I haven't played enough of the Splatfest to see all these other new ones that they've introduced in the single player. I hope a lot of them are in there, because there's ones where there's this little kind of like rolled up, almost like a rolled up carpet, and if you hit it, it just like it springs out a certain distance and kind of covers a whole trajectory in paint. It knocks out anyone who's in its way.
Right.
And then it recoils after a certain point. So,
In the maps that I saw, which was the four that they had, there wasn't any of that. There wasn't the speed up ramps either.
Okay.
So
right.
That doesn't mean they're not in any of them.
But maybe that'll be coming,
Maybe they wouldn't show them in the ones that they're doing at this pre-launch.
So, who knows? I mean, and like, you know, like with the first one, they ended up putting so much extra content and stuff in it. The new gun that I've used in the dual guns where you can roll around and stuff while you're using them, again, from coming from playing the first one a lot, feels that's like a welcome addition.
Mm-hmm.
Feels different enough. Feels good. The controls as precise as they were in the first one. Just dipping into the ink and swimming around just feels good. Even if you're not doing anything, just that fluidity. And it's easy. It's easy if something works really well to sort of take it for granted a bit, because a mechanic like that could very easily have just been, if that didn't feel that precise, could have just been dog shit, and the whole thing hinges on that. I think the slight bit of motion control that you can have on, where you can sort of use it to aim a little bit extra. You guys played it for a bit before, and you can adjust the sensitivity, which I've kind of done and gotten it down to just what feels kind of perfect for me.
Yeah.
One really cool feature is you change the sensitivity of all the settings, and there's separate menu categories for when you've got it in handheld mode and when you've got it in the controller. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. You don't have to adjust it every time you take it out of the dock, which I think is a cool little thing.
Yeah. I hated the vertical aiming not being on the right stick by default in the first one and this one.
Yeah.
But you can change
that
if you want.
You can turn that on,
The one other thing as well, in the first one, you had the map there at all times on the Wii U thing.
Yes, that is, I mean, that was one of the few games where you went, oh, this is like what's great about the gamepad.
Right.
So a big part of it when you... Yeah, so you kind of, when you're in multiplayer, you it really helps you to be able to see how much terrain you've
exactly
got.
Exactly,
and where you need to go. And
where you need to go. Yeah. And so having that just a quick glance at all times was really helpful. And then when you died, you can... when you respawn, you can like super jump to anyone on your team. Mm-hmm. So you'd die and then you'd look down at your screen and you'd be like, okay, he's over there and he's in an area where he needs help. I'll go to him.
Yeah.
Which now has to be done with a button press, which is... Yeah, I mean, what do you do? But it is it was one of the few things where it's like, oh, yeah, the gamepad, when used properly, is actually as great.
And it's just a little, it's like, it really isn't a big deal. You just hit X and it's
and
there.
It comes up,
But it just makes you, it's weird that it's not in the top left corner or something.
Yeah.
Just a little thing of how much color is where, but, you know.
But it just playing it with a proper controller too, because as much as the gamepad was cool for being able to see all that stuff, having to play it on that big, bulky controller.
It felt weird.
I never loved. And even just zipping around this with the pro controller, which is so good.
And the motion controls were much worse because of that.
Yes, definitely, definitely. It all,
I felt this a lot more when you can set it up yourself. It does help with precise aiming stuff. It does feel good.
Totally. Yeah. It's weird that it's not really getting talked about for ARMS, which was like the big push of it was motion control. This actually uses it great and it works one for one. And it's if we hadn't played those demos of it earlier in the year, I wouldn't even know that it was in there.
Yeah.
But it is great where you use the stick. I use the stick for the bulk of my moving around and looking. And then if you quickly go in between two targets, it just feels great to just be able to quickly
flick a third
your wrist
stick,
and
kind of like it's a weird.
Yeah. Well, so I pretty much have only played it at that the Switch hands-on thing that we went to, and I hated the motion control, but I very quickly just learned how to ignore it.
Yeah.
Like it was you know, we only had like a couple of rounds to play it, but even within that, I was like, oh, this is how I prefer to play it.
Yeah.
And then it was fun.
Yeah.
Like it was really fun.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm, this is the shame. I'm going away tomorrow. I'm going to be away all weekend and then I come back for a day and then I go away again. So I actually don't know when I'm going to get too much time to sit down and properly play the online mode, which and the single player is really fun, but in an ideal world, the single player and the multiplayer complement each other really well because they're a bit of, you know, they're a bit of respite from each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's weird to review any Nintendo game in advance of it coming out because you're pretty much, you're Stockholm Syndrome like me and you're in all the way or you just have no interest.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like a couple of people were like, oh, if I've got a Switch, is it worth getting? Well, why have you got a Switch if you're not into Nintendo games? And also...
Yeah.
Like, what else are you going to get, bro?
Yeah.
For a less aggressive answer, I would say, I reckon this is real appealing to everyone, even if you don't think you like shooters.
This could be
something.
I don't like competitive online shooters.
If you're not into shooters, you might like
this. But even if you are, you still would as well. I don't like it as much as a good shooter. In a competitive sense, I do.
Right.
I would... Like Titanfall, like I said, I enjoy as well. So
you know what I reckon you'll get really into is you earn in-game currency and then you use that to buy and level up weapons.
Oh, yes.
And
you little fucking money grubber.
Because I'm Jewish, right? I get it. Yeah, good one, boys.
No, I know you're a big one for stats. And like you were telling me really hooked on the online of Mario Kart because you were like, I've got to get myself up to that 2,000 mark.
Totally.
So I can see and it's got that very satisfying thing where you finish a match and you know, it's got the little bar that kind of gradually increases. And then when it gets to the end, boom, you're on level 3 now. And just watching it hit that next one.
Yeah.
And even if you're like, oh, I'm going to not, okay, this is going to be my last one. And then if you get to the end of that and it's like, oh, look, I've only got a quarter about it left. That's one more match and then I'm going to be on the next level. I'll just do this.
That is exactly what I will get addicted to
about
it.
Yeah, that is the bit that you will fucking, you'll get right into.
I wish that there was a more robust offline component because I just tend to prefer
that. It's such a shame. It's just such a shame. And you go back to, you know, their history, Nintendo's history is like, you know, GoldenEye. Everyone crowded around the screen. Like that's one of the foundations of what – people love in their brains when they remember their good memories of Nintendo.
Yeah, I love it in my brain.
I don't know if it's a technical limitation. I don't know if the worry is that it's like if you're in split screen, you can't see enough of the playing field to be able to judge. I just don't know what the decision is down to.
Is there? Maybe it's two switches.
It's not, but I'm not.
You can do LAN stuff.
Yeah.
But on the box, because this came up on Reddit a while ago too, on the box, like, it just has, like, in terms of, like, single, like, just listed as a single player game.
Yeah, I don't mean offline multiplayer. I mean, like, offline
on the one
or even just being able to.
Well, no, and just single player.
I mean more single player. Like, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like, yeah, it's not, like, the most complicated game and single player experience, but there's a lot of.
You can just do Grand Prix. Yeah. So, I mean, and, like, I don't know.
I think the reason would partly be with the single player stuff, they just haven't built the AI in that way.
Yeah.
Because all the enemies in the single player are pretty simple, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe.
I think there is also maybe a bit of, like, I kind of, like, mentioned offhand before, like, they want people to, like, a lot of different people to buy this game. They want people to have to buy the game to play online multiplayer.
Yeah, I really think it's, I would say at least initially, I think the thought is just wanting to make sure that the servers are always full and satisfying because they, yeah, it's all, I mean, it's timed when the levels come up and there's like, there's ranked state, there's, I think with Mario Kart, they're just sort of like, oh yeah, people are just racing around. But Mario Kart 8, it fills in, it fills in with AI if you're online and there's no, if people drop out, I think.
I don't think so.
Or whatever. But it.
Whatever.
Whatever. But you can get on and play online with someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there's just two of you, you can just have bots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can
and
you,
like
me and you
Rocket
race
League
online with bots.
Will do that and whatever. Yeah. There are plenty of games that
you're
do
right.
That.
They just haven't put the. There's nowhere else where AI factors in. So, but I also just think it's about them wanting to keep the servers really, really full and not give people the option of just,
maybe.
Making
and I guess,
it
you
too
know,
easy.
The first game was online multiplayer first and foremost, so
and there's room for
it. The
if
sequel,
there are enough people playing, I'm still playing that Battlegrounds game that's got no single player component.
Yeah, right.
It's fucking great.
But it was just so, it's so weird because the first one had a split screen mode on it, that which was what we played in Japan.
Yeah.
Which was kind of dog shit. Like, it was not the actual game.
Oh, like one was on the.
It's you running around trying to pop balloons.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just like not the actual game. And I was like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Surely this will be the thing that they fix in the next one. Not only do they not fix it, that's not even bad.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was bad. I'd rather have that than nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway. Because I do think this is something that is that you can be. It's just a shame that you can't have people around and.
Yeah.
I think people can be won over by it really quickly. Like if you sit down and play with someone on the telly, like I think that's it's
hey
so
guys,
immediate.
I brought my Switch to this rooftop party. What's the Wi-Fi password though? We're on a roof, Jennifer.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I've read about
there is no Wi-Fi.
The genius of it for if you're not into if you're not into competitive online shooters is that you can just. You can just hang back and you can just be the guy on your team that's not really going to get into the fire and just kind of like sneak around and just sort of, you know, cover up the paint. And that's great that you can be as involved in the matches as you want.
Same as a bunch of smart shooters like Overwatch and stuff that have found ways to make you contribute.
Oh, you can be a healer or whatever.
Yeah, or a sniper. Some people have asked, is it a system seller? Probably not.
Probably not.
It's more of the opposite.
Well, I mean,
I'm trading my Switch in.
The year for the Switch is bookended by its two system sellers.
Yeah.
Like people got it day one because they wanted Zelda. People are holding out or considering going in now because of Mario. Mm. But I mean, it's definitely, I think it's cool now that between that and ARMS having launched within a month, we've got, and by the way, I've been playing a lot of ARMS online and really enjoying it. And I think it's cool that between the two of them, we've now got the back end of the year that they've said with both those games, they're going to keep putting updates and adding new stuff to them. That's a cool position to be in.
If you bought a Switch in 2 years, if hypothetically no other games came out somehow, Zelda and Mario, you could be definitively done with. Splatoon would still be going.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
There was another. You can't address the multiplayer lobby stuff, which was a question someone asked.
Well, what did they ask? Because I have.
What is it like?
Oh, the lobby.
Like from the
lobby,
Splatfest, I can say.
The interaction.
They're pretty much the same as the
there's
first
not
one.
Not that little jumping squid minigame.
Yes.
Anymore.
But is there any, like, you can't talk to other players and organize stuff?
No, well, that's through the app.
That's the app,
right.
So I don't know how that's going to work yet. That'll have to be next week. We'll figure that out.
Yes. So that'll be the interesting thing. We will have been able to
It was all very quick,
that,
though.
And we'll
it
be able to use the app. Yeah, yeah.
Snappy and got you in there.
A big criticism that people have had of it from the first one, which in typical Nintendo fashion, they've gone, hey, this thing that everyone hates, let's carry this over to the new one. If you're in a lobby, you cannot change your loadout in between matches.
Right.
So you have to kind of quit and then do that and then go back in.
That's annoying.
You also don't get to see what other people on your team or opponents are using.
Right.
Which, for the strategists out there,
is
a big component.
Yeah.
This is a very small criticism. I don't like the little saying that the two new presenters have as much as the one from the first one. In the first one, they went, stay fresh.
Yeah.
And this one, they say,
don't be cooked. Stay off the hook.
Yeah, it's a very forced catchphrase.
Yeah,
but
I'm the only gay in the village. That sort of
the single player. Interestingly enough, you are guided by one of the two
from the first one.
From the first one,
the other's the villain.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, right.
And I think even if I did know, I signed a contract saying I wouldn't say. But
I've signed nothing. It's the villain.
But it's interesting because the one that's guiding you through it kind of shits on the two new, like, she kind of addresses that.
That's
like,
funny.
She's like a bit shitty and like,
yeah, that stuff.
That's kind of cool.
All the personality in it is
really
great.
Totally.
Yeah.
We got a couple other questions here. Do we want to do them real quick before we get our butts out of here?
Yeah. Oh, you mean non-Splatoon?
Yeah.
Oh, well, because I think, I don't know if I would have come out of listening to that knowing if it was Splatoon 1.5 or really Splatoon 2. Would you say it is kind of 1.5?
Well, I was trying to address that earlier. In today's context, it is more Splatoon 1.5.
But that's a good thing because Splatoon 1 was great.
Yeah, and you can totally understand why they've done it.
Yeah.
It is more of a jump up than Mario Kart. Or like Pokken Tournament looks like it's going to be
right.
It's more of a there's a lot there's new stuff.
Yeah, I mean
but
there's
it's
new,
the same game.
Yeah, there's new levels, stuff. But also it's not like there's a great deal of stuff to be done with it. And and you know, like I said, it's the original isn't even that old.
Yeah,
I mean it's like the original came out, was a success. Then you know, presumably the workings behind the scenes were, okay, well this new thing's coming out.
Yeah.
Quick, get to work on.
Yeah,
so they haven't, I don't think they'd even had enough time to sit and let it digest and no real time has passed. So it's not people's tastes have changed a great deal, which is what I was getting at with all the it feeling like a very old schooly kind of sequel.
And so I guess what you'd be looking for by asking that question, like if you didn't like the first one, you won't like this one.
No, not
but
at
if
all.
You did
if
like
you
the
did
first
like it,
one,
you would be satisfied by the amount of stuff.
You like won't feel like it's a waste of money. It's not like rebuying it.
Yeah.
No.
Just the amount of service it's putting into the single player and the way that that's been beefed up is like, great. Like, it does more than enough to go, okay, cool. And also for me, like, I'm stoked that it's now, I mean, I think I knew two people that had it on the Wii U.
Yeah.
But I'm stoked that, you know, and being able to play, like, local multiplayer, like, you know, all wireless.
Yeah.
It, you know, if we can ever get that going with us and some listeners or other friends of the show or whatever, like I'm stoked about that. I'm stoked to actually be playing it with people who I know have it, whereas the first one I was like, oh, this is cool, but I have no one to talk to about it.
Yeah,
so I guess that is probably an incentive for, I presume, a lot of people are in that same position given how the Switch is selling. But was that all the questions? Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you won't be, if you weren't interested in the first, I reckon if you like the first one, you'll, it's more of the same, but it's.
And if you never played the first, I reckon try and get your hands on this because it's, I reckon a lot more people who would like it than think they would like it.
Definitely.
That was kind of why it's a shame that you can't do a local, you can't share it with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that Splatfest thing, if anyone, I'm surprised they didn't push that harder because you were able to play the game for 4 hours and find out if you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just weird timing to do it so close to.
It was like a global thing as well.
Yeah.
So, so close to the launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to your equivalent of the EB Games upstairs on Swanston Street. Go and play it somewhere. Try and climb up the top
of some bus stops and see if you can find one on top of there because I've heard it's a good place.
I forgot that period of this podcast.
We put the call out for some questions. We have a couple here. Do we need to save them? What time is it?
That's an hour 30, baby.
Let's do them.
Okay.
Yeah. Our first question is from friend of the show, Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Hey guys, hope as well is well." Nice wordplay. Good wordplay there. When I was a kid, my dad bought me a Commodore 64. And
wait, I don't understand that at all. Who's as well?
Oh.
Nice.
A Commodore 64 and about 100 games from another kid who, in retrospect, was clearly being punished by his parents. Nice.
The old putting the Razor scooter up on the bus stop trick.
About 10 years ago, my mother lent it to her friend who was doing a master's in gaming technology. He never returned it.
You know what? I bet he didn't pass if 10 years ago he was doing his master's in gaming technology to went, "I've made a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
I'm a master of the arts."
He stuck his name on it. "Has it been too long for me to ask for it back? How should I approach this?" Interesting question. Have you guys ever had that happen? Like a friend go, "Oh, I'm just gonna, can I just borrow Bubsy too?" And they just never return it.
I will say a big shock in my life was maybe 6 years ago, mm-hmm. finding out that I had a reputation as a serial bad loaner.
Oh,
so brutal. Someone who would just borrow stuff and forget to give it back.
Fuck.
And my excuse, which I know doesn't hold up, but this was what was in my head, was just like, I just forget. Like if someone doesn't go, which I know, it's on me. It's totally my fault. But that was always what was going on.
I'm not really sure what is the socially accepted time of like, you've had it for this long, this is when you have to return it. Like a week? What is it?
Oh,
well, if it's a book or something, it's just, hopefully, when just done. When you finish it, which hopefully you don't take, which is my problem.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of had this happen semi-recently. A guy borrowed, a guy who I didn't hang out with super regularly. They were at my house to record a podcast from a while ago.
Right.
One of us?
No, it's from our.
It's one of us.
It's from my previous podcast. And they were a guest and they were like, "Oh, Grand Theft Auto 5, I just got a PlayStation 4 and I haven't played it yet. Can I borrow it?" And I had owned it on the PlayStation 3 and I'd, already played through the story again. And I was like, "Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'll just grab it off you sometime."
Mm.
And they were like, "Oh, yeah, cool. When you pick it up, I'll lend you Bloodborne." And so they had it for about a year.
Right.
And I didn't remember to ask for it. And then I realized it had been like 9 months and I was really annoyed because I was like, surely they would have realized.
Now, Ben, I've known you for a while.
They're the person who has the game that has been borrowed.
So was your reaction to this grievance you had with a person to A, bring it up in a calm manner with them, or B, let it sit and seethe for a while?
No, I just forgot about it again for about 4 months. And then I was like, "Oh, I actually want to play Grand Theft Auto 5. So I got it back.
Sounds like a lot of B talk I'm hearing right now. Sitting and seething.
This guy's, what are you, Jerry Seinfeld? Because I'm hearing a lot of B
nice.
Talk moving coming from over under your lips. I make a point of not borrowing shit anymore much as I can.
To add a button on that story, I had Bloodborne for about a year before I gave it back.
Right, there you go.
On purpose.
Well, I'm the same, Knox. I stopped borrowing stuff because I realized it got back to me that I was very bad. Which, what annoyed me about finding out that I had that rep was I was like, everyone's bad. Like, I've got so many books and DVDs and games that have just gone fucking walkabout.
Yeah, right.
That I lent out to someone that I... So I'm like, I'm not getting enough credit. Like, I reckon if you factor in the number of things I've borrowed and never given back versus what I've lent out and never gotten back, I'm still in the red.
All right.
I'm still losing here,
okay,
I reckon.
Okay, Karl Marx. Let's rate it in. you should come into it with the attitude of like, this is gone forever unless I happen to get it back, unless you want to ask and then you should be. But
yeah. I used to be, I had a way too eager to please thing where like someone would come and see something that I had gotten like 2 days before and not even used yet and gone like, "Oh, could I borrow that?" And I'd go, "Yeah, nah, take it." And then they'd leave and I'd go, "The fuck did I do that
This
for?
Is why I never asked to borrow anything, because people generally say yes whether they want you to or not.
Yes.
I don't want to put
people.
And I borrowed a DVD off of someone once years and years ago and accidentally left it on a fucking train.
Oh.
And the guilt from that made me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I...
So this is a better version of you that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, I've since gone downhill.
Right.
Yeah, it is. So this guy, so Ramsey...
This
absolute madman. So this is 10
years. I've just realized I never actually bought him that DVD back as well.
Yeah.
I meant to. and I never did.
Well, it's the thought that counts.
I need to, but if I do it now, how much more thoughtful is that,
That's
huh?
great. Yeah.
This happened like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
man, you're
this is the same situation. So it's 10 years and it was a friend of his mum.
Yeah.
So he will, I mean, that's on, he's got the easy thing where he doesn't have to have the awkward phone call. He can just send his mum around to do his dirty work because it's her responsibility. She lent it out on his behalf.
Yeah, that's
It's her responsibility.
Yeah, but again, like we were saying, like if he wants it back, he's got to chase it up.
Yeah, yes. After 10 years.
Yeah.
Get in there before he dies. It's been ages.
Yeah.
10 years.
But that's life, isn't it? I'm currently sweating on an invoice that is 5 months overdue.
Oh, that's really and overdue.
The person who's meant to pay it keeps going on leave.
Oh.
So like every time I chase him up, I get another automated out of office reply.
Oh, that's brutal.
And so the person who he's got tagged in his, hey, if you need contact this person. So I go, hey, me again. Yeah. I just tried to chase this up.
Yeah.
Did you ever, can you, and she's like, I can't authorize that until he gets back.
Oh.
So then he gets back and I ask him again and he goes, yeah, cool. Then I realize it's been 2 weeks and nothing's happened. And so I chase it up and he's gone on fucking leave again.
Well.
Must be nice.
Well, look, that's what you get if you get paid in Commodore 64s.
Yeah.
All I can say.
Yeah. He's borrowing a whole fuckload of them right now off of people around
the country. I mean, that's, friend of the mum's 10 years. Mm. I mean, look, try your luck, but man, I would be ready for that. I mean, people move houses. Yeah. Like, there's every chance that. You know, that's
at some
gone.
Point you got to. I stopped waiting for this baby to pop out after 2.5 years.
Adam,
I think it's staying in there. It likes it in there.
I don't know how to break this to you.
What's that, Ben?
It's just a big shit, bro.
I couldn't have said it better.
Sorry to jump in like that, I knew that I was sitting on solid gold.
So will I be soon if this comes out?
As the woman who gave Gold Member a lap dance said. I'm sitting on solid gold.
Oh, yeah, good. You're a fucking idiot.
That was pretty good, I reckon. Did we have one more?
We could probably save this one for another time.
Okay.
We've done, what, an hour 45?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's more than enough for you fucks.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening once again to Filthy Casuals for another week. filthycasuals.com.au to find the links to our socials, our email address, our premium episodes that are on Bandcamp that we would love it for you to check out because they're beyond just the fiscal reward that we all bathe in if you listen to them. Yes. We think they're really good. We work really hard on them.
Yep.
They're a bit longer. They're very funny. And, they're good.
Thanks again to Loot Crate for sponsoring this episode.
Mm-hmm. Go check that out. Let us know your thoughts of Splatoon over the weekend.
Mm.
Hopefully. I don't think I've done this in a bit, but let's put out our friend codes and maybe we can get a bit of a lobby going with some of the listeners.
Good plan, yeah.
Maybe like, we're going to record this again on Monday night. So maybe we could do something then.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? let's not make plans publicly like this because then it looks shit when we don't follow through. And make no mistake, we will not be following through. So, guys, thanks so much for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Don't get cooked. Stay off that hook. That's how they say it.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.